This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, petty cast time. There's got to be something you guys are petty about. Start sending them in. Sean, I think this is a text message. Sean, I think you might be a little overzealous there, thinking you're going to move up from 25 to 10 without giving up an extra first-round pick. Maybe. That's what it costs to move up to get Deshaun Watson. They moved up from 25 to 12, and it cost a first-round pick the next year. That was for a quarterback, and I know that was 7 years ago. Maybe the currency has changed since then. Maybe the exchange rate has changed since then. Maybe you can get it done with a 2 and a 3. Maybe I'm being overzealous. Maybe not. The thought process, as far as what the specific draft capital is, don't get too wrapped up in that. If they're thinking that way, I would be really encouraged. If they're thinking of going and finding a young guy they feel really good about who can help reset the tone in that room, because the tone is now resettable in that room with Laremy Tunsil out of there.
What was what did you suggested?
I suggested just flipping the picks they got for Laremy, the 3 this year and the main picks, the 3 this year, yeah, and the 2 next year. And that may not be enough. Who knows, to move up that much. But maybe it is. Maybe you got to go a 2 this year and a 3 next year instead. Who knows?
Steelers, let's see. We'll figure out the compensation before the next break.
Yeah, we'll do it. Pettycast time right now, though. So we do the Pettycast every week at this time. What are you petty about? What are others around sports petty about? It turns out, Seth, of all the stations that I listen to driving in that are sister stations of ours, I don't do it very often, but when I do, more often than not, it's been Cleveland. Because one, I think Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima there, our colleagues there, do an excellent job. They have a great show. Two, it's very entertaining to listen to them when the Browns are just the dumpster fire that they are right now. And it's always a good reminder, too, that it wasn't all that long ago that we were having conversations like they were this morning, debating whether or not the Kenny Pickett trade was a good one yesterday. They traded DTR, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, and a fifth-round pick for Kenny Pickett.
Kenny Pickett.
The open to their show today was Kenny Pickett in Cleveland. And
I'm trying to think, the way all of this runs through Pittsburgh with various, Kenny Pickett getting a first-round pick going to Cleveland, whereas meanwhile you got Justin Fields, who had been through Pittsburgh, a first-round pick who's been through Pittsburgh.
Played in Ohio. Simmons. Yeah, there's a lot of
sorry.
Stuff.
Why do I keep saying Justin Simmons? Justin Fields.
Yeah,
now going to the Jets. Yeah.
The mood on that show is when they get to football, is very downtrodden right now. We've been there. I get it. I empathize with them. However, I don't think they like the fact that we're not in that morass anymore. Here was Ken Carmen. They're kind of going through all the moves yesterday, and they get to the Laremy Tunsil trade, and Ken Carmen said this.
We also had a trade for the Washington Commanders, sending 4 draft picks to the Texans for Pro Bowl tackle Laremy Tunsil. So a second big move for Washington.
So this is one of the underrated things. Part of this is bitterness, absolute bitterness, because I want to know what people thought about. I want receipts on what the fans and what the media in Houston thought of the McNairs and that organization before C.J. Stroud started being C.J. Stroud. Because I don't know how much Houston media you follow. I mean, we're both friends with Landry. Now I know Landry's in other places in Texas now. But man, it is, our culture's the best. We're nothing but tough guys. If you can't hack it, I'm like, wait a minute. You guys had Jack Easterby. You guys had a preacher in charge of things. You wanted Nick Caserio fired. I kind of want to say that you lucked into C.J. Stroud because the Panthers are so inept that they didn't want to take C.J. Stroud. They just had to have Bryce Young there, which I guess any team could luck into it. But going, man, all of a sudden, like, they are like the West Point of the NFL. It's like, I know what your franchise has done. I know exactly what your franchise has done. And so with, like, Laremy Tunsil, I'm seeing these videos of these former Texans about how soft Laremy Tunsil is. Like, he's one of the elite pass protectors in the NFL.
Well, didn't the Texans
just fall off a tree
here. Didn't the Texans have one of the worst offensive lines in football last year?
They did, but he was one of the best.
Right,
he was one of the best players. And it was somehow put on him that he made the rest of the offensive line soft, so that's why the offensive line wasn't good.
So, I mean, how does C.J. Stroud feel about this?
It doesn't compute to me. I mean, they get a bunch of picks. Maybe they'll knock it out of the park. But it's just amazing to me. It's like, oh, wait, the Houston Texans are the perfect franchise now all of a sudden. And yeah, I know. That part of that's bitterness. You know why.
Yeah, we know why.
Oh, boy. We have a high opinion of ourselves here, I guess. Boy, that doesn't feel the way I felt for much of the season about the offense. Obviously, he's not talking specifically about us. Because they can't listen to our show.
Well, I think Ken sees. I go after Cleveland on social media sometimes when things when things like having to overpay Myles Garrett to convince him to play for a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
I'm happy to do that. What I would, my response to them would be, yeah, we had Jack Easterby, and now we don't. We don't anymore. And yes, we went through a phase. Everybody goes through a phase. We went through a phase, and we're not proud of that phase. But we went through it, and we came out the other side. I don't think you can have a rant like that and ignore the name D'Amico Ryans. You know what I mean?
Right.
He didn't say D'Amico's name one time in that whole thing.
Yeah. No, and also everything you said about toughness and all that, I think that's true on the defensive side of the football. I think the Texans play a certain brand of football that they are unapologetically violent. And they are lunch pail swinging, hit you upside the head and under the chin and do all that on defense. Offense, you won't find a whole lot of Texans fans clamoring about how awesome the offense was this last year or how tough or how physical they are. They're the opposite of that.
Right.
So when it comes to wanting to mold the team in D'Amico Ryan's image, Laremy Tunsil was, A, not one of the best offensive tackles in football. This is what disgusts me the most, is the number of people that are willing to act like pass protection is all that it takes to be a good offensive tackle. He's a very, very good pass protector. He's not a good run blocker. He's a middling run blocker. And when it comes to trying to have a team in the image of the head coach, you can't have one of your highest paid guys be one of the guys who's the most finesse offensive tackles in the league. Amongst the good offensive tackles, he is the most finesse. He's got zero appetite for violence. So that in setting an example and setting a tone and trying to be more like the defensive side of the ball, the honestly shouldn't be allowed to look the defense in the eyes in the locker room.
I love that.
Because it's not even on the same caliber.
Nope.
It's not on the same level. So I'd agree with him that, the Texans are a work in progress. They're not a model example of exactly what you want to be. I don't think anybody no Texans fans think that right this moment they're exactly what they need to be. Obviously, they need to be better.
Yeah.
But there's more to it. Then you know what? You want to be like, Texas before they got good again. University of Texas. Hey, we got all these 5-star recruits. Great. What are you doing with them?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, awesome. They look great on paper. All right, but you haven't put together a football team.
Right.
And now all credit to them. They figured out ways to put together a good football team. But that's like this. It's not just about your PFF rating. Man.
No.
PFF has never done more damage to the delusional assessments of players than when people act like they're not just looking at Pro Football Focus grades, they're exclusively looking at pass protection grades and ignoring all the rest
all that goes with being an O-lineman. I'm with you. All right, so PettyCast, Cleveland, Ken Carman, very petty towards you, the Houston Texan fan right now, and the organization as a whole. The next petty here is really, I don't know if I'm even being petty, I don't know if Titus is being petty, but Titus Howard, right after the Laremy Tunsil trade yesterday, posted on his Instagram stories I'm sick right now with literal, like the crying, not the laughing crying, the crying emojis, the very sad tears streaming down the front of the yellow smiley face. I'm sick right now over the Laramie Tunsil trade. I will echo something Seth said earlier in the show when it comes to this post from Titus. Good. I hope you're sick. I hope you internalize what happened yesterday and take it either as a sign that you need to start stepping up and playing up to your contract, or you could be next. And if you know what? If Nick wants to keep cleaning things out, if he wants to keep doing some spring cleaning over there, and if somebody offers something for Titus today, cool. Let's go. Yeah. There's plenty of guys out there, man. They can do what Titus does.
Honestly, that's where there's so many people pointing out, hey, no, Laramie was liked by his teammates. I don't care. What about, why on earth should I care if members of one of the softest offenses in the league like another guy in the locker room or off the field? Why do I care about their opinion? It matters nothing to me. If I got a bunch of badasses, if this was the San Francisco 49ers of the previous several years, not last year, or something, that were pointing to a guy as like, yeah, this is a guy that and they're not even saying that. They're just saying they like Laramie. I don't care. Yeah. Why would I care? You're talking about an underperforming unit liking a guy in the locker room. That's not the same as leadership. That is not the same. That's voting the captain of the football team the class president just because he's a good-looking and popular guy. It doesn't mean he actually should be the class president. Students, players, whomever else, theirs are not the opinion that matters when it comes to likability or a guy being a swell fella. The decision-makers on the team, the coaches and the personnel people and whomever else, don't feel like he's the right fit to be a leader by example on that offense, which was a horrible offense in the second half of the season.
Who are the people on the Daily Beat for the Texans going to go to for their O-line propaganda now that Laramie's out of the building there?
Oh, I just can't wait for the tell-all expose. I wonder how long whoever writes the tell-all expose about the Texans, how long they sit on it and wait until after Laramie Tunsil's gone feel like, oh, it's not. They won't figure out that Laramie Tunsil was my source on this.
I do wonder, you know, how much. You know, DJ Bieniemy had that piece, which was well sourced. It was a well-written piece on ESPN a couple weeks ago about the demise of Bobby Slowik, with a bunch of quotes from nameless players in the building over there.
Yeah,
that I feel like 100% had to be offensive linemen, and probably you know who. I wonder how much that, as you pointed out several times today, and I agree with you, like this is probably something that's been coming for a while now. It's just you got to be opportunistic about moving Laramie Tunsil. You can't just do it to do it. But I do wonder, like along the way, things like posting the autograph cleats after a 31-2 loss. Anonymous offensive lineman says this or this about how we didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know what our identity was out there. Like, it's all the little, what do we call them, Seth? Microaggressions? It's all those little things like that that eventually arrive at you trading him for a bunch of draft picks. All right, Pettycast, couple more here. The Max, this is me being petty now. Max Crosby saying, I need to be on a winner. And then the Raiders are like, here's $35.5 million a year. I guess I don't need to be on a winner. Myles Garrett, I need to be on a winner. Here's $40 million a year. All right, I guess I'll be on a crappy team. And even DK Metcalf, I must be somewhere warm with a good quarterback. Well, this team will pay you $33 million a year. Fine, I'll get a coat and play with whoever Pittsburgh decides to put under center. Fine.
Yeah.
All these guys out there, and I get it, it's posturing. It's maybe it's even negotiating. If you truly felt that way, Myles Garrett, like I must go play for a winner, and then they start waving the cash in front of your face, I lose a petty amount of respect for you. How's
it's,
that?
That's why I give Ken Carmen a little bit of a pass on how he's lashing out at Houston right now.
Yeah.
You got to feel, if you're a Browns fan, like this is just one more bad insult to it.
Yeah.
You almost looked at, because I think a lot of people in Cleveland probably said, yeah, look, even Myles Garrett, he just wants to go win a Super Bowl. He's showing you how bad the organization is. And they kind of side with Myles Garrett. They get it. They understand it. And then it turns out, oh, no, he's actually no different than anybody else. He's just he's just angling for more money.
Yep.
I can't even point to him as an example of the dumpster fire that is the Cleveland Browns.
No.
He's just, it's one more dysfunctional thing or a lie that I've been told added to the mix. Yeah.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcast.
All right, one more here. Kyle Tucker did an interview at spring training with the Cubs. And here's what he had to say about Cubs fans.
I mean, it's a little different. Obviously, I spent my whole career up to this point with the Astros, but I mean, like I said, you know, pretty much right when I got traded over here, I don't think I could have gone to a much better organization than the Cubs. I mean, the fan base here is, you know, second to none. And, you know, the teammates and, you know, front office, coaching staff, everyone that I've talked to and met so far have been, you know, amazing.
Oh, okay. This is the Pettycast. Oh, they're second to none, eh? The Cubs fans who you haven't, who, by the way, you haven't even really experienced yet. You've been in Arizona at spring training with the most diehard of diehards that are going to travel there to go see you and cheer you on, and you've done nothing. Yeah. Although I say you've done nothing to get in their bad graces or whatever, but he did start 0 for 20. Finally hit a home run. Started 0 for 20 in spring training. Kyle Tucker did for the
that'd
Cubs.
That'd be a shame. That'd be a shame if you went all Chandler Parsons on
this. The petty part of me. All right, who would you rather? It's kind of a loaded question because Alex Bregman factors in more to the Astros because they play in the American League.
Yeah.
But just based purely on the player, forget about this, what it means to the standings. Are you rooting for either of them to fail? And if so, who are you rooting more so to fail?
I'm not rooting for either of them to fail, but if I had to, it would take me 3 milliseconds to choose Kyle Tucker. I think that Alex Bregman deeply, deeply, deeply cares about baseball.
Yeah.
And it's been very obvious. It's been painful seeing some of these stories after the fact about ways that he helped out various players for the Astros. I respect the way Alex Bregman approaches the game. Whereas Kyle Tucker is a guy who, as a young player at least, had to have a talking to by A.J. Hinch to show the same level of urgency as the other Astros on the team.
Yeah.
His defense has fallen off in the last couple of years. He's just not the complete and total everything you want in terms of the drive the way that Alex Bregman is. I mean, Bregman gets frustrating, but it's never for a lack of caring or want to or anything. So, if I had to choose, 100% Kyle Tucker.
The only thing that would make me choose Bregman is I think the reaction in Boston to that Bregman contract being a lemon would be fascinating to why I don't even care about the standings and things like that. And look, the Astros are going to, their path to the playoffs are going to be winning their division. So I'm not as worried about the overall AL standings. I'm hoping the Astros win 90 games this year. The reaction in Boston, if that Alex Bregman contract is bad, is, oh man, that could be delightful.
But think of this, the reaction, if Cam Smith continues on his trajectory,
now that's a great point.
If Cam Smith continues on his trajectory and it turns out that the Cubs get nothing out of a 1-year rental, that would be epic, Sean.
Okay.
That would be epic.
Okay, I changed my mind. You sold me. That's better. That's better. I like that. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday here. Man, busy Tuesday. We're rolling along. C.J. Stroud talking about Laremy Tunsil on the Pivot podcast last year. This was, we're looking at all the signs that this trade should have been coming down the pipe a whole lot longer than it did. This might have been one of the biggest ones, and we'll relive that coming up next.